You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike. Blind Mike.
Brand new studio, same old intercom. My headphones are plugged into nothing. I won't be able to hear any audio today. So, you know, same shit, different pile, as I like to say. Back with another episode of Trash Talk. I am your old pal, Blind Mike. No, I was not fired. I know there was a lot of worry. Even when I said I'm doing an episode of Trash Talk, people said, were you fired? Yeah, they're letting me back in the building to lambaste them one more time.
It could have been a goodbye episode.
Yeah, they do that all the time, right? Kirk's coming back Friday. I guess he did have a goodbye episode. So, that voice you hear is the great, the best guest I've ever had, which I will not say to Kirk Minahan or Lyndon Byers if they're here. But other than that, best guest I've ever had, Lucy Burge. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mike. It's been a while.
Highly requested by the fans.
That's good to hear.
People have said two most talented people at Intercom right here in this room.
Well, that's nice.
I'm saying that, but no.
Ouch. I disagree, but okay.
Good to have it back, Lucy. Two broads in one room. Who else does that here?
This rarely happens here.
You know, two ladies. Caitlin with me as always.
Hello.
And Lucy. That's how progressive I am.
I feel like that's the
guy. We've got two women.
That's the comments that Lucy and I get most of the time when we're ever seen together. It's like, wow.
Ooh.
Two girls.
Right. It's like, it's a girl's
must
day.
Must be tension, ladies.
Right. They're like, it's a lot of estrogen in here. That's what
right,
we hear a lot.
Right.
Because not only is Caitlin your producer, she is an intern.
Right.
For, not me, but for Jason Rossi.
Right. So, you guys work together. Has there been any tension yet? A couple of cat fights?
Yeah. No.
No.
I think Caitlin's great to work with.
Okay.
She follows direction well. She learns quickly.
I disagree.
I wish there was more juice to, you know.
Caitlin, how's working for Lucy? Do you work for her, would you say?
I guess, yeah. I'm like, in the way that the rankings fall, yeah. Probably. I don't really know. It's
kind
of weird because, like, has Lucy been good to work for?
Yeah
of course.
Nah.
No, yeah. I've really liked everyone that I've worked with so far. So it's been really good, yeah.
What a politic answer.
That won't last long.
Yeah, no. Not here, certainly.
A lot of what happens with Caitlin is I'll go in and say, Jason wants this, or Jason said this, or Jason wants to see you. So it's a lot more for Jason, but like today, I was like, Caitlin, where the hell is hour one? Why haven't you clipped it yet? So there is some of that.
Oh, all right. So Caitlin's slacking is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, every day.
The usual.
No, Caitlin is a wonderful intern.
Jason Rossi, there have got to be some bodies buried somewhere. Like, he seems like too nice a guy. He's always nice to me.
And no one's,
people are usually never nice to me.
Well,
and he's always very consistently nice to me, which makes me think there's some demons in there.
No, somewhere. He's a very nice guy. But as Keith mentioned today, he is taking a trip to Negative Town a little bit.
Okay.
See, I don't, that's what they're saying on the air, but I don't notice it any more than usual.
Right.
Like, he's not that negative from what I've seen. He's a pretty positive guy.
Seems like a genuinely nice guy.
He is.
Can't say that about almost anyone else here.
Right.
So
it's
nice to see once in a while.
You know? I've seen a lot of genuinely nice people here. I haven't run into anybody who's not.
Oh, Lucy is so, she's afraid.
Lucy's got more to lose
than me. Like, I don't have a real job here, so I can just say whatever I want. Lucy has to actually work with these people. I just zip in and out, stumble over some shit.
Well, you
kick stuff in the hallways.
What happened at the meeting? I am dying to know.
Well, that's what I wanted to get into. So, As the listeners of this program know, I had a big meeting yesterday, or so I thought. Thought it was going to be a big meeting because I sent an email to our program director here, and I said, this is a few months ago, back in like September, I think. I sent an email saying, hey, Joe, I'd like to be on air more. And he said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. And I said, oh, rats. And then I guess I said some things that weren't very polite on Twitter, and I, you know.
What were those things?
I don't really
recall.
I do remember. So I basically asked to be on with Gilroy. I actually like doing, as much as I take shots at him, I like doing radio with Patrick Gilroy at night. I don't know if you've ever done anything with him.
Oh, yeah. I produced for him a couple times.
Yeah, very good guy.
He's a great guy.
And
yep.
Fun
very
to do
nice.
Radio with. He gets it for the most part. So I basically said, like, you know, I haven't been in with Gilroy as much. Like, I like doing that, so if I can do that on a more consistent basis, I'd love to. And if there's ever a shot for me on the weekends or whatever, I'd love a chance. And, you know, the answer was essentially no for you know, for the abridged version. And then like 6 minutes later, literally, that's not an exaggeration. I stopped reading that email. And then
how long was the email like in inches of text? Was it long? Was it shorter?
No, I mean, like, I'd say two paragraphs, two short paragraphs.
Oh, was it critique?
Yeah.
Or like what you can do better?
Constructive criticism,
I guess. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get into that. There was more of that at the meeting.
Here we go.
But then, so when I stopped reading the email, I saw that Dakota from Braintree was on that Saturday. It was that weekend.
With Reamer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's when I was like, well, what the fuck? That, and I think I said on Twitter, like, brilliant decision by EA. Yeah, well, I guess I don't have the credibility that, you know, your typical caller from Braintree has.
Ooh. Yeah, that's going to get you airtime. Criticize the place where you wanted to be on the air.
You know, Lucy, that was pointed out to me by a couple of people. They said that probably wasn't the best tack to take is immediately rip everyone.
Who told you this? Who got back to you?
Who got in my ear?
Yeah.
Bradford.
Okay, all right. Bradford was another great guy.
I got another great guy.
Fantastic.
Giving me a lot of help here, and I very much appreciate it.
He is willing. That's the thing about him. He is willing to help anybody.
Yeah.
Who needs help. And yeah, yeah. I've heard him say to people, what can I do to help you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, great.
He's awesome.
He's been awesome to me.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a few panicked Bradford calls that I talk about. Like the first podcast I did was the day that Reamer got suspended for the Brady kid stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, good first day. I guess I'll talk about this. I said that on Twitter, something like that. And I got a call from Bradford. Ah, jeez, Mike, you know you're not going to be able to do that. Like, you can tell he feels bad telling me I'm not going to be able to talk about that, but it's his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a very similar call, like, what are you doing, man? You just, now I got to deal with this. Because I don't have to deal with any of it, which is nice. Like, you know, no one knows me from a hole in the wall here, so I don't really have to deal with any until Bradford goes, just what? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
Did you put it in the title of the podcast that when you like uploaded it?
Oh yeah, that was the other mistake.
That was
I was like, hey everyone, guess what I'm talking about this
right,
week?
Yes.
And he was like, just don't advertise it at least. So I've at least learned not.
So
to
I've
do
seen
that.
You put it like whatever you are talking
yeah,
about
I'm
and
just
more.
Talking about Dwight Howard this
yeah,
week.
And more.
Right.
So that there was one day.
I've learned.
Caitlin came into me and she was like, how do you take down a podcast? And I was like, I know what's happening
yeah,
now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we've learned from our mistakes. But no, so the only reason I bring that up is because the email I got was in response to that original email from Joe saying, hey, let's meet to talk about this. So I think, oh, old Mikey's time to shine. Finally, they've seen the star rising.
So this is 6 minutes later.
No. This was two days ago.
What was 6 minutes later? What was that?
That was when I saw the Dakota from Braintree.
Oh, right. Okay,
and that's
sorry.
Why I went off on Twitter. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
I see.
No, the email where he said, let's come in, that was a few days ago.
Okay, right.
But it was to that same email. So I thought, obviously, it's got something to do with me being on air. Why else would he respond to that particular email instead of starting a new chain?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, it's got to be about something like that. And I didn't have my hopes set too high. I said, my guess is they're going to give me one shot on a weekend and see how I do and go from there. That was where my mind was at. But I went in and Joe said, you know, we never met. So it's good to finally meet each other and talk. We've only spoken through email. I said, yeah, that is good. And then from that point on, I don't really know what happened.
Just your mind went blank?
Like, I think it was a good meeting.
Okay.
It was friendly. We covered a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it was fine. I'm not mad about what was said in the meeting or anything.
But what
happened? I don't know what the point of the meeting
was. But what
was
said?
Yeah, did he say like you've no shot of being on air ever?
Kind of.
Okay, all right.
No, he didn't say that. I don't want to mischaracterize
subjects,
the meeting.
What topics or what was covered?
Essentially, it seems like they want me in more of a producer's role.
Okay.
Which is fine, and then but I explained to him Mike Hsu from WAAF, who I know a little better than most of the people down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never met him.
Nice guy, another nice guy. I take it back. I said there were no nice guys here. There's at least three. Mike Hsu, very nice guy.
Name the three.
Mike Hsu, Rob Bradford, and Jason Rossi.
Okay.
And then anyone else that can help me in the future. Joe Zarbano, great guy, terrific guy.
Another 10 minutes on that.
Yeah. No, so Mike Hsu came to me probably 7 or 8 months ago. Remember Jared? Caitlin, you worked with Jared.
I remember Jared.
My old producer.
Did not like Jared.
He had I was attitude. I was one of the few that liked Jared.
Oh my God, that
And I
kid.
Just see the other day, he unfollowed me on Twitter.
Well, did you follow him on Twitter?
I mean, he was my producer.
He can't be that good of a follow.
No. It wasn't.
He was his attitude was terrible.
He's a negative Nancy.
I would correct him on something and he'd be like, oh, I didn't do that wrong. I can see like right in front of me that you did do it wrong. And he, I don't know. I liked
Jared and I was one of the few that did. And he turned on me for whatever reason. I think he was mad. So we had Caitlin in one day when she started producing.
Mm-hmm.
It was when Jared got fired.
It all comes back to me.
And Caitlin texts him. We're all kind of friendly. We know each other. And Caitlin texts him and says, hey, I'm helping Mike with the podcast. Where is his, how would I find his podcast intro or something like that?
Yeah, something, and, yeah.
And Jared says, didn't know I was being replaced.
Oh, wasn't he fired?
You're not allowed in the building anymore.
Right.
Why would I? I'm not Mike Entercom. I can't be like, hey, guys, let him through the front door. It's okay. He's with me. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, if you get fired, I what can I do?
Right.
I can barely get in here.
Well, I think you made a big upgrade with Caitlin. So that worked out for the
100%
best.
100% agree. But anyways, so it was when Jared was here. That's how Jared ended up producing for Hillman, because Mike Hsu asked me if I could do assistant producing for them. And I explained that with my eyes, I think a lot of people think like I just need glasses or something. Mm-hmm. But it's legitimately I can't see shit. Mm-hmm. I think anyone that's seen me walk down the hallway here probably has an idea that I'm legitimately legally blind. So I explained to Mike Hsu back then, and this is what I told Joe the other day, that I'm not able to see the computers well enough, and there's plenty of technology that enlarges stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just not able to do things fast enough with the precision and timeliness that you need for a live radio show.
Okay.
So if I'm cutting things up or putting in drops or whatever, I can't do that fast.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be the right fit for that job. There's a million people that could do it better than me.
Okay.
And he said, okay, I understand that. But what about in a more, the example he used was a Chris Curtis kind of role where you're putting together a show, coming up with topics, trying to book guests, stuff like that. And I said, honestly, I'd love to do that. Like, I'd be happy to try something like that out. I've never known that to be a position that exists for an unestablished guy. You know what I mean? For a guy that's never done board hopping or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known that to exist, so I've never pursued it. And he was like, okay, well, maybe we can work on you trying to do something like that. And I was like, well, this is odd. Why am I... Why are we meeting about me producing? Like, it seemed very strange. So
okay.
I just said, what about me being on air? Like,
mm-hmm. Just keep saying it until something happens.
Do we see that happening?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no. he kind of, gave it some thought and he said, I don't think you're ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. Well, and he asked me, I think the meeting actually started with him asking me, I guess kind of to sell myself, like what's different from me than anyone else?
Mm-hmm. You gave your Shark Tank pitch?
Yeah. Yes. Elevator pitch.
Elevator pitch.
I have a question for you along those lines later on when you're done, you're done with this.
And, I said, I think I'm a lot different than your typical weekend host. I personally think I'm funnier. Maybe that's... I don't have a very big ego, so I don't think it's that. I think I'm funnier than a lot of people on the weekends. I think I'm willing to go in different directions than they are. Mm-hmm. I'm younger. I'm just a different voice than is presented on the weekends. And I have such little self-confidence that I'm terrible at selling myself. That's essentially what I said. And he was like, okay. And, he was kind of just like, I'm not feeling it. I believe the quote was, I don't see much of a difference. I don't see anything that separates you from Mark Dondero, who I don't know. Do you know? I don't know.
Okay, Mark Dondero does. He worked in Providence on some news station.
I found that out. I didn't know who that was.
He does Mark and Kitchen with Ben Kitchen.
Yes.
Who I miss very much. On the weekends in Providence.
Right. Okay. See, I didn't know who that was, but I just knew it was a name I didn't know, which made me think, okay, that's not a compliment necessarily. It's not necessarily an insult either. Mm-hmm. It's just saying you're a guy, you're not separated from that guy.
Right.
So I was like, okay. But why am I in here? It was very odd, and I didn't understand it. And I didn't know how to process it, really. And I have no... I don't really doubt my talent in this. I doubt myself in 10 million other areas. But what I liked when I was at Barstool was they tried to find a role for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what happened with that? Did you, like... Yeah, sorry.
Well, I mean, essentially, I was an intern. Uh-huh. So when they moved to New York, there just wasn't a spot for me to be full-time. And, you know, making what I was making, I wasn't going to be able to live in Manhattan.
Right.
So it just wasn't a spot for me.
Mm-hmm.
But, excuse me, what they did at the end of my internship was, you know, I filled in for Big Cat on The Rundown. I did KFC Radio. I had a segment that I did like 3 or 4 times on Adam Carolla's show.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of when they were trying to promote it to a wider audience. I did something with them. So Dave kind of, you know, tried to find a spot for me. Nothing really worked out. I wrote a few blogs, but nothing stood out, which that's fine. But I was left with more of a sense of satisfaction because I was like, okay, I tried something and there wasn't a spot for me, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this feels more like, we don't even really want to give you a shot. Let's pivot you to something else.
Yes. And that, or maybe right now.
Yeah. So I don't know. I didn't know how to take that. And I hope I'm not coming across as burning bridges here. I'm not trying to lose it. I'm trying to, you know, kind of explain what the meeting was about. Because I said, hey, everyone, big announcement coming. The old kid is about to take off on a jet to Mars.
The announcement is that you met Joe Zarbano.
Yeah, the announcement there we is go. That me and Joe had a pleasant conversation for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not what I expected, so I felt the need to kind of explain it to everyone. But like I said, I don't question my ability at this, you know, but... And there was a lot of, it seemed like maybe they felt I hadn't paid my dues or something like that.
There probably is an element to that, yeah.
And that I always wonder about because it's like, you know, and like I came from Barstool, so I hate using that analogy all the time, but it's just what I know. Like, that's where I grew up in this business. And it's like there, if they saw a talent in you, they'd try out at something. It wasn't that you had to, you know. Load the water cooler every day,
right?
to be able to be in a video or write a blog or something. It was like if they saw something in you, they would try it. And sometimes I get frustrated that hasn't happened here necessarily. And it did a little bit. I was on with Gilroy a couple times, stuff like that. But I was wondering, have you felt that at all? That you haven't? Because you know, I think you're very talented also, and you have more of a presence here.
Mm-hmm.
You know a lot of the producers and stuff like that. They know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than they know who I am. So I was curious if you felt right. That frustration at all too or no.
Not as frustration as in like paying my dues or frustration like
as in like they're trying out all these people, all these, you know, who the hell are these guys? Why haven't they given Lucy Burge a shot on air with someone else?
No, I've never felt frustration like that because no. I know I'm not like great on the air. I know
you don't
that
think
I'm
so.
Not really. Like, okay. I've been put in situations, like, with the morning show with, I don't know where else. But, like, I definitely am not, I'm not great at it. I'm not great. I don't know if it's yet or if I'm just not great at it ever. I'm not cut out for it, whatever. But what I'm doing right now, not being on the air all the time, but producing a show where you can pipe in or say something on the air, might be a better role for me right now until I get better at it.
Do you want to be on the air ultimately?
Ultimately, yes. Okay. I think anybody in this business or who comes here wants to be on the air ultimately.
Because I certainly don't think I haven't heard enough of you to really know. But I certainly think like when you and I do this, it's a very natural conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're very honest for the most part, as far as I know.
This is much different than a live radio show, though. So it's
yes
no.
and no. I mean, it is certainly obviously. Mm-hmm. There are much fewer people listening, but I'm saying it's kind of that aspect of it is kind of more in your head. Just your ability to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So a couple weeks ago, you texted Jason Rossi mm-hmm. about being on with, not with Dale and Keith because they were out,
yes.
being on that show.
Yes.
What would you have brought to that show had Jason said yes?
I don't know. Is this what you were
going to
ask me?
This is what I was going to ask you.
That's interesting. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at what was topical at the
time. Yeah, I forget what was happening at the time.
So do I. Because mm-hmm. I didn't prepare for it because I wasn't doing it.
Right. Did you expect him to say yes?
No, I didn't. I didn't expect a no either. I thought if they needed someone, then maybe. But I also thought, and Joe kind of alluded to this. I didn't think I would be allowed on air, even if Jason wanted me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe said something like, I said, you know, I texted Curtis about doing Gilroy, and he didn't respond. And Joe said, yeah, you know, I think that's got something to do with the tweets you fired off in September.
Probably.
Which I understand.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, I don't think I'm allowed on air anyways, but let me give this a shot. What did Jason say about
it? No, he just said that you had texted him
and
asked.
Yeah, well, Caitlin actually mentioned something to me that they were looking for people.
Okay.
Not getting anyone in trouble. Just,
no.
Just said that they were looking for people for that show, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know, might as well throw my hat in the ring. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have maybe been honest with Keith about what I think about that show, and that could have led to some fireworks.
You
possibly.
Probably would have been asked to leave after
probably,
a couple minutes.
But I'm all right with that, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, a guy with nothing to lose lives a pretty easy life. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, I don't mind going in there and fighting with Keith. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm saying that. Fighting with Keith.
You're not helping, Mike.
Exactly.
I can't speak. Yeah. I don't mind going in there and fighting with him and having him hate me. So whatever. And it's bizarre to me the people that do mind that. Because I think it makes good radio.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think anybody here should be able to fight with anybody or make fun of themselves. That's a big thing.
That's always been my argument that I make fun of. I'm called Blind Mike, for Christ's sake.
Right.
The name of every week this podcast goes out, it's Blind Mike's Trash Talk.
Right.
So I make fun of myself enough that I think if I make a joke about Dale being boring, that it will be taken as a joke. And that if
right.
he hears it and wants to bash me, that he can do that if you want. And, you know, that's how I've always taken it. But a lot of people are more sensitive than me, I guess, because they haven't had the same stuff to deal with. But were you, this is something I wanted to ask you
mm-hmm.
about that, now that we brought up Dale and Keith. How did you feel? I don't know if you were in that day. I think I was in that day and I think I saw you, but I forget. Were you in the day that it was Kirk's last show
mm-hmm.
and then Dale and Keith started and didn't mention it at all?
I was pissed.
Okay.
I was really angry.
Yeah, okay.
Not angry, but I was just frustrated. I was more frustrated. I wouldn't say angry so much as frustrated
yeah.
because. Like, this had just happened. This huge thing at the station. Probably the biggest thing to happen at the station.
That's always been
probably
my thing
ever.
It's weird not to mention it. Probably ever, yeah.
It's very strange. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Kirk's. Like, I respect him as a talent, as a personality, as a journalist. I think Kirk is the best to ever do this, honestly. So
yeah,
I
certainly in this market.
So I, you know, that was the one time I ever cried at work, was his last segment. I just
really?
Like I yeah. So it was just sad to see that show end.
Jeez.
I was very sad to see that end.
Much like Trenny at David Ortiz's goodbye.
Yes, so. Yes, exactly. Much like Trenny, definitely. No, so it, and then just to not say anything about it was weird.
There, I thought so.
And now, to have this all happen and then and I was like, I'm not surprised, but I'm also just frustrated that we're not even saying anything.
As a producer, do you say? And Jason would be like the lead producer,
yes,
right? And you're
yes.
an assistant producer. Is that
mm-hmm.
how it is?
Yes.
So maybe it's not your place.
Right.
But as a producer, do you say to them like, hey guys, how do we not at least address this?
Oh, definitely.
You did?
The whole show, Jason and I were debating about whether or not to talk about it. And I went to Dale twice during the show, during breaks,
yeah.
and said, you know, if anything, just want to hear what you guys think about it.
Yeah.
Just to say something about it, to end the show or something. And Dale was just like, no, we're not going to do that.
Did he explain why at all? Did he give you a reason?
No, he just said, well, no, he didn't really. He just said, like, no, we're not going to do it.
Because
like,
that
right,
was
well,
the most
what am I,
perplexing
what
thing is to not address it. To
right.
not even say, because people said, hey, that's not Dale and Keefe's show.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Dale and Keefe thing would have been to say, hey, you know, we've had our differences with Kirk. He's meant a lot to the station. It's sad to see him go. Something
right,
like
even
that.
If Dale was saying, like,
yeah.
I'm happy you left, or whatever. Whatever you think.
Right.
I want to hear that.
Right.
Just as a listener. Not that I agree at all. Like, I was very sad that he left. But,
right.
Like, and then I got even more frustrated when the afternoon show was talking about it all day, which they should have been. I mean, that's the topic of the day. It's on,
right.
you know, it's in the it's all over the news. It's everywhere.
And
so,
that's what I've told,
why?
Me and Bradford have had this argument a little bit where this show was supposed to be, I think it still says, like, if you look on iTunes, the description is everything in sports media outside the walls of WEEI.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been so much stuff going on since I started this podcast that I start talking about EEI a lot.
Yeah, naturally.
And Bradford said, you know, we kind of want to stay away from that. And I've said, my argument has been, there are times where I'm happy to stay away from, you know, it's not every day that I want to talk about what Christian Fourier is doing in the room next to me. Mm-hmm. But there are days where it's weird if I'm doing a media podcast. This is Blind Mike's media podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the biggest story in the city or maybe the biggest story at the station ever. That's weird to me to not address. So there's days like that where it must be frustrating for you guys mm-hmm. to be in there and be like, why are they not doing this?
Right.
How do you feel doing that show as a whole? Have you liked being on that show?
Yeah, I mean, it's they're easy to work with, Keith and Dale. Yeah. They're not demanding. They're easy to work with. Yeah, I mean, but there are topics that other shows would address, like that, for example, that they won't.
Right.
So that is a little bit frustrating sometimes, but that's just how that show works.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it is what it is with that.
I have a couple topics we could get to, but I want to make sure you get out of here on time. So first, I want to get to some of the questions that we had. I was surprised.
Yes.
I said to the gearheads out there.
Oh, yeah, gearheads, hey, right?
Those are yeah, okay. That's right. I said, you know, what questions do you have for me and Lucy? And we had a few. Do you have them up, Caitlin?
Yes.
We had a few good ones. I would say go funniest to best. Like, start with the dumb ones, and then we'll end on the more real questions. I know there were a couple for Lucy. There was one F, Mary, Kill, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's a tough one. I saw that.
It was between Kirk, Mike Francesa, and Chris Curtis.
An odd F, Mary, Kill.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would think of that one. The only thing I could say is that, oof, I can't answer this one. I honestly cannot do it.
Because it's awkward or...
Well, I'm too close to Francesa to be able to answer it.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, Francesa's your boy. You don't want to make things awkward between you two.
Right, exactly. And he'll hear this, obviously, so that would be an awkward conversation with Mike Francesa.
Someone asked, is Lucy single?
Lucy?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, right. And
DMs are open, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm. Well, at Burner AO, a bunch of numbers.
Yeah, read their names. Oh,
yeah.
Give them
you want to go out sometime?
Yeah, they want to know.
Okay, right. Well, tell them, sure.
So you've got some options, Lucy.
Yes.
I don't know how hard you've been looking.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Someone asked, I don't know if this is like an inside joke, but mm-hmm. at Ryan the Gaggin, whatever, mm-hmm. Did you understand anything Russell Brand said on his new Netflix special?
I guess that might just be because they know I'm a stand-up fan, maybe.
Okay.
I didn't watch it. I don't find Russell Brand particularly funny.
The funny part about
him... He was a great character in two movies.
Which two?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And the same character. Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek.
Yes, true. But the funny thing about him is his accent. Like, if he didn't have an accent, would he be funny?
Yeah, if he was just an American guy.
He looks like a pirate who, you know, whatever. If he didn't have an accent.
Yeah, no, he's just a guy with
like
a wacky accent.
Guy. Yeah.
I guess he's gotten fat now, too.
Oh,
which,
that's not
I don't
good.
Know who I am to talk, but he was like real thin. So his image has changed.
Yes, I haven't seen it. What's your favorite Netflix stand-up special?
Of all time, probably John Mulaney's new one.
I love John Mulaney.
Amazing. His new Kid Gorgeous is awesome.
Oh my god, I've seen him live twice.
Would you see him at Symphony Hall when he was here last year?
I saw him at Foxwoods.
Okay.
I think both times, but he's so good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. What else we got, Kim?
All right. Callahan Forever.
Oh, my God.
My boy.
This is referring...
We were talking about this. Before we get to that, we were talking about this the other day, the parody accounts, and a lot of them are trolls, but particularly the Kirk and Callahan parody accounts seem like just genuine good guy, like fans
who
care about the station.
I wrote a profile on them a couple years ago about what they do. Like, it was called the underworld of the EEI parody accounts, mostly mm-hmm. the morning show.
Right.
But I emailed with all of them. I thought they maybe were all the same guy. No, they're all
that
different.
Would be an incredible undertaking.
Right.
If it was all the same guy.
Well, yeah. So they all are just regular guys who have jobs, and they list the most of them are like, yeah, we listen on our way to work.
Yeah.
And we listen sometimes at work and just tweet, you know, whatever. Right. And they're awesome.
Yeah.
They make you laugh. They're entertainment. They're great. So like,
and sometimes they're insightful. They think of shit that I don't even think of.
Right. It's another element. Yeah. Like, they've talked about it on the morning show. Like, it's another element to the show,
right.
And it's great.
And they've promoted this show a lot more than this station has, so I appreciate all. What does Callahan Forever have to say?
He was referring...
He had a couple, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm
he
sure
was
he
referring to, actually, the video that I took of you and Keith and Jason the other day.
Oh, I know what this question is.
And he said, please discuss how she was able to sit down and listen to two grown men talk about wrestling without laughing.
Lucy, how do you feel about
it? I believe I was stifling a laugh the entire
time. Yeah, literally the entire time.
The video, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're like, I don't know what to say.
Right. But I've learned a lot more about wrestling since being on, being part of,
being around Jason.
How exciting
that
must be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. When, what if the Crown Jewel was on? Yeah, Rossi had his iPad. So watching
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so out of that.
Yeah.
I know when WrestleMania comes around, that's pretty much it.
Right.
What else we got, Caitlin?
So Mark Hannon's balls.
One of my favorites.
One of my favorites. This isn't really a question, but balls. I'm assuming it's a he, but I'm just going to go with it. He said, please discuss having me in as a special podcast guest during Christmas.
Mark Hannon's balls
must be a big fan of Christmas.
I said I couldn't have Jared in because he got fired. I doubt I can bring, as much as I love him. I love that. I like the account. He seems like an insightful guy and a big fan. But and he supported this podcast, which I appreciate. He's a true gearhead. But I feel like if I bring a guy known as Mark Hannon's balls into the station, it will be my last podcast.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
I think he'd have to go by his real name.
Right. And I feel like there's no reeling in a guy like Mark Hannon's balls.
Mm-hmm. There's
no taming him.
That would have to be another, like, whatever else you talked about, and more.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And more. No guests. Don't listen to this one at all, folks.
Yeah. Just bury that one.
What else, Kate?
At Corrado underscore Dan wants to know, is it true that Mutt is actually 3'6"?
Yes.
Yes, that is true.
The first time I was ever on radio was when I was still a bar stool, and Mutt invited me in here, just kind of like, well, in the old building. Just kind of checked the place out, and I walked in, and judging by his picture, the only thing I'd ever seen him was that Mutt and Maloney picture where he's got, you know, a lush, thick head of hair, and he's the same height as pro athlete Lou Maloney in that picture.
Right, yes.
And so I'm thinking a guy probably about my height, good shape, and I walk in, and I hear, hey, Mike, and I'm looking around, and, you know, it's down here. It's amazing how short he is. Like, it takes you by surprise, I think mostly because you're expecting a full-grown man. I put him at about, in all honesty, probably 5'2". Would you say that's fair?
No, I'd say he's probably 5'6".
Oh, I think
5'7".
You're right.
Well, no, because I've walked by him.
I don't see well, so he looks
smaller.
Walked
by him in the hallway. I'm 5'5", and I think I'm taller than him. Or the same height.
Yeah, huh. Well, there you have it, folks.
Don't know, though.
He's in that 5'5" range, we'll call it.
Well, I didn't even realize. So in the video I did with him, I'm wearing heels in the video, and I didn't realize the height difference until someone pointed it out on Twitter. And I was like, oh, like, I was wearing heels, so I can't tell if he's really that short or if, like, I am just tall.
He's a diminutive little guy.
Yeah, so the proportions in that video are skewed.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Next one.
I'm looking, some of them you've kind of already talked about, but the only other one, I don't know if you want to go into this, it says, has Kirk Minahan reached out to you at all? Any pushback from management for being the only on-air personality to talk about the truth about what was happening?
That one's for you.
Around Kirk.
I find that very funny that I'm the guy that talks about the truth. They say the parody accounts say that a lot, and I appreciate the hell out of it. But it's funny because I haven't said anything that crazy, which was the crazy thing during that time where no one was addressing Kirk. Is me just acknowledging he existed was like, hey, no one else is doing this.
The truth, he's real.
This guy's the truth-sayer. Kirk has not reached. I reached out to Kirk about doing his new thing, and much to my surprise, he responded immediately and said, "We will talk sometime in the next few weeks." I don't know what that means.
There's a chance.
There's a chance. I don't know what that means. It means
probably a slim chance.
Yeah,
but
it means we might never speak to each other again.
Right.
But I was at least in his mind enough to respond to my message, and I have no further news than that, unfortunately. Other than I will stay on him. Because you know what? Dave Portnoy respects this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Does Dave Portnoy listen to this podcast?
Yes.
He does.
Well, Dave Portnoy throws around compliments like cinder blocks.
Really?
Does not give compliments too often. And said,
I can see that. That's how you get to the top.
Exactly.
You can't compliment everybody.
Of course. But he went on Barstool Radio twice in the last 2 months now. And somehow I got brought up and he said that I'm good on my podcast.
Ooh.
And then mentioned afterwards that he hates EEI. So he really has no reason to compliment me being here. But it's twice that I'm good on the podcast. And Gaz from Barstool has also said they like my stuff. And it's obvious I learned a lot, blah, blah, blah. So the fact that Dave Portnoy that I still have his respect means that I might have a slim chance with Minahan, but I don't know anything other than that, unfortunately.
Do you think that Portnoy and Kirk talk about you?
All the time.
Right.
I think they have an ongoing text specifically about me.
Right.
No, I can't imagine I've ever come up. And even when I was working there and Kirk was about to do my podcast and Dave was doing his podcast, I can't imagine they mentioned, like, hey, Blind Mike works for you, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that never once came up.
I doubt it.
I highly doubt it.
Do you think that Kirk knows that Portnoy respects you?
Because no,
then there is no why no. would Kirk ever
no. Well, no. What he said to me, well, maybe because what he said to me was, I asked the first time he did my podcast. I said, you know, why did you do that? Like, you had no reason. It added nothing to your career. Why?
Well, another good guy. I mean, he's genuinely a good guy.
But what he said was, he goes, you know, I know you're one of Portnoy's guys, and I have a lot of respect for Dave Portnoy.
I see.
So
that's right.
In that sense, yes. But other than that, no. Was there any? I think Callahan Forever had another good one.
Oh,
unless there's
I don't know. The only ones that I can find, the last group asked, and I know that Lucy and I were talking earlier. She might have already mentioned this the last time that she was on the podcast.
Oh, the John Dennis thing.
Yes,
I saw that. Yeah. Do you have? We'll read the question so the people know.
Oh, I don't know if it's the John Dennis thing.
Did Lucy turn down the
Lauren
Charge?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, this woman, Lauren Lynn, who keeps tweeting me, like,
I don't know.
No, but she, like, keeps tweeting to me. She doesn't even follow me, but she's like, you turned down the show. Like,
she says that you turned down the morning producer gig to work at the gym across the street. And I was like, I don't know what that even means.
No, so,
Lucy's actually the biggest fitness guru ever.
Well, so I worked at the New Balance gym, which is a great place.
Oh, you did work? I knew you went there.
I worked there part-time.
Okay.
I worked there part-time. Yeah, great gym, but not right after that. Like, I didn't leave to do that. I was in grad school. That was one of the background reasons was I was in grad school, had to finish my master's. I'd already started. Mm-hmm. So my parents weren't thrilled, but the big reason was that Dino just made me so uncomfortable. Like, he was just very uncomfortable. So I just got to a point where I was like, I can't go into that office every single morning and have Dino be sitting there.
He was still there, like, when you were talking about that? After he left? Okay.
Yeah, this was like before he left. So it was, but like Jerry and Kirk were great. Like, they were fantastic. Sure. And I would work for them in a heartbeat. But like, Dino just made me very uncomfortable. So.
Which is a funny thing, too, because I think if you listened to that show and knew nothing else outside, I think you would think of the three, Dino would be the, because he was kind of playing this character. Not necessarily
playing
it badly, though. Not necessarily of a nice guy, but of someone who was like friendly, I guess, but more friendly than Kirk and Jerry. And I've never met the guy, but everything I've heard is just a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah. No,
just
he's
absolute
awful.
Terror.
Yeah. Awful.
Did he say anything? I remember you kind of alluded to, like, him sending you some weird text.
Yeah.
Did
he
say anything specifically that weirded you out?
Everything he said to me. No, but like, that's a long story.
Tell me to fuck off, but was it ever like sexual stuff?
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, there's a little bit of that. And that's what made me, to think that that happened and that he, like, I'd be working for him. Like, it's two different time periods, but. And he, like, acted like that never happened. He probably didn't remember it. But, like, he...
Yeah, right.
So I just thought, like, this is... I can't work for this guy. Like, I just can't do that. So that was the main... But besides that, even if that never happened, it still
wouldn't want to work for him.
Was just... The text that he sent Paul Chartier and me, like, that's not something that you should send somebody who's, you know, working. It's just weird to, like, call you an asshole and be like, you know, do all this stuff. And I'm like, what is this?
There's a lot of guys like that in radio where it's like, I understand, like, you know, maybe that's how they got to that level, that they were that much of a perfectionist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, you have this job where, other than the time you wake up, I guess the time you wake up is shitty. But other than that, you come in, you bullshit for 4 hours with, you know, other guys who are good at that, whether you're friendly with them or not. You're talking sports, you're talking politics, whatever. And then you go home, and you're done with your day. You make boatloads of money. It's like, why do you put that much stress on yourself? Why do you live like that? That you're screaming at interns. It's like, why?
Yeah,
why
just,
do you like that?
He's just not a good human being.
I mean, yeah, right.
Which is great now that he's just like a, you know, weird tweeter. So
begging
they make
to get
fun
back into radio somehow, yeah.
Right, so this
seems
is
like
why,
a sad life.
Yeah, what is he like? I'll do shows around Christmas. That's like what
I'll come in when no one's in the building so I don't get bullied.
Yeah, I saw him when he did his Christmas shows. I was producing
is that
day.
At all?
No, I just, like, I walked by him, and I was like, hi, John, and he just said hi and walked by. Okay. I was like, all right, well.
Was there, so the text you got, were they, like, explicit in or was it like
a little
bit, hey, you know, why don't you come over after?
No, it was never like that. No, it was, no? But a little explicit. Yeah, like someday. So? That's a story for another time.
Oh, come on.
That's for another time, but so it was just I wouldn't be able to do that, but like if it was just Jerry and Kirk, yeah, I'd want that job.
Yeah, right.
Big time. I mean, I wanted it. It's just I started realizing I can't work for Dino.
Well, the other thing I think that was kind of unfair to you that I saw in that chain was like they were like her parents wouldn't pay for her apartment.
Yeah, so
I didn't know. I thought maybe they were just mentioning that. I didn't know if they were shaming you or something. But I was like, I don't know. She was a college kid. That's not
no.
That
well,
crazy.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the things is my parents weren't really talking to me. Like my dad was not happy that I
really
no. Like my they just weren't happy that
because
I.
They didn't like the show. That you were
kind of like it, they just didn't want me. They wanted me to finish grad school.
Okay,
that was the thing. Is like they were like you just have to finish school. Like then
and they thought that was preventing you from doing that. Or?
Oh, it would have. Like I wouldn't be able.
Okay.
So it was my master's degree. Like I couldn't. Be like in class all the time and do this show because I wanted
5 a.m. Yeah,
yeah. And if I wanted to, you know, produce this show, which is, you know, the number one show basically in the country, mm-hmm. How would I wanted to devote all my time to it completely, like right. Curtis does now. Like, I would want you'd have to be that. And
of course,
if I'm
yeah.
in class,
and you kind of have to too because those
yeah.
guys are demanded of you too, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, which
as
is,
much
you
as
know,
I think that I've never met Callahan either, but as much as I think they're both pretty decent guys to work for, they're going to demand perfection of you also.
Oh, definitely.
So
and
if you're,
I would
if
want
you're falling
that.
Asleep at 5:30 in the morning, they're going to scream and yell at you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Probably deservedly so.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. So I would want to focus everything onto the show
right.
to make it the best it can be. And so that kind of, and like if I'm sitting in class and some like news breaks, how am I going to like, you know, I'd have to you know, work on that.
Right.
Yeah. So I just wanted to like focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But that was like, I could have done it. But if Dino wasn't there, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do anything
yeah, right.
for this. But right. that was the big factor.
The other thing, and you might have, this was part of one of the questions Caitlin read, and I kind of skipped over it. They said, is there anything about content? It was something like, have they told you anything about content, like what you can or can't talk about? On this podcast, never. Well, I take that back. That's not true. I'll get a call saying, hey, you can't talk about that. Like, once it's up,
yeah.
they're like, hey, we had to take that podcast down. But they forget I'm here, so they never tell me anything. But I'm curious from your, because you work with On Air a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hear mandates where it's like, absolutely do not talk, don't criticize the Red Sox, don't bring this name up or that or whatever? Is there anything like that that you deal with?
Not with Dale Keefe, because they,
right?
You know,
I guess that's
they're pretty safe.
I guess that's true.
So
yeah.
No, we've never gotten don't criticize the Red Sox because they would never do that.
Because they wouldn't do that. They just know not to do that.
Right.
Did you get the vibe? Were you working the other day when Sam Kennedy was on?
Yeah.
Did you get the vibe that there was a veiled shot at Kirk in there?
I honestly didn't listen. I didn't
okay.
talk to Sam Kennedy. Yeah.
I think people tried to make something of that, and I'm always Team Kirk, as everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that vibe that it was a shot at him.
What was it that he said? I saw a tweet about it.
I was dozing off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, come on, Sam Kennedy, what are we doing? But yeah, no, I didn't get that vibe, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Sam Kennedy won, so maybe he was taking a shot at him somehow. Was that it for questions, Caitlin?
Yes.
All right. There was one other subject a couple people wanted me to get into. I don't know if you have time or not, Lucy.
What time is it? Yeah, I got
3:20.
10 minutes.
Got a couple
Let's
minutes.
Let's do it.
It was simply that... someone brought this up to me literally right before the show, and I saw some tweets about it last week. There were a couple things with 98.5 within the last week or so that have been compared to what's gone on here, particularly with Kirk, but they compared it to like the Fourier thing and Reamer and stuff like that, where with, for whatever reason, when stuff like that happens with 98.5, it doesn't get brought up. The main one that I saw like real outrage about was, I don't know if you saw, I guess Felger... got brought up that Roy Halladay's on the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't
Felger
see
said,
that.
Felger said he's a Hall of Fame pilot or something like that.
Which That's is, funny.
It's a funny line. Like, people get on their high horse and say how it's morally reprehensible. The man is dead. It's like, yeah, he's dead, and that's very sad, and it's terrible for his family, and it was tragic and everything. But it's a funny line.
Yeah.
Like, you're not looking at it as Dave Chappelle said, everything's funny if it's not happening to you.
Correct.
You know what I mean? If Roy Halladay is not Felger's brother.
Right, exactly.
And if he was, I'm sure Felger would think differently. But a lot, the reason I bring this subject up, and the other one was Zoe and Beetle did like an Asian voice. There was a guy named Chow.
Okay.
And they started doing like an impression of Leslie Chow from The Hangover.
Okay.
And they compared that to when Fourier did an Asian accent.
When did this happen?
Last week.
I didn't hear about this at all.
It was very underground. You have to follow the parody accounts very closely.
Okay.
It got brought up to me because they know I'm one of them. I'm
right.
in that world.
Right,
now.
Yes.
So there is
a very
they tell me these things.
Yes,
yeah.
It is a sub-world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that one, and then this was the one I saw right before the show, and I can't believe people were even outraged by it. Maz yesterday said that Belichick like slurred his words through his press conference, and he said either like he doesn't care about the media or he was drunk, and I think it was the first one.
Definitely drunk.
And it was like obviously that's a joke.
Yeah, so clearly. I mean, that's
my one message to like the parody account and outrage culture in general. And I try to say this all the time, and no one ever listens to me. But I'll keep saying it. Is that you should never. I get the reason you would want to go after 98.5 after you saw what happened to Kirk. Kirk's the guy you all loved and respected, your favorite radio guy ever, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now taken away from you, at least on regular airwaves. So you look at that and you want blood. You want other guys to suffer because of that. My message would be, if you want guys like Kirk to be on the air, don't attack Felger when he makes kind of a funny joke. It mm-hmm. should be, always protect Minahan, always protect Felger, always protect the guy making the joke. And go after the people that are going after them.
Right.
It should never be an eye for an eye in that situation. It should never be, well, Minahan got punished, so Felger and Zolak and Bertrand should, and Maz should also. That's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, you know, to my peeps out there, the parody accounts, calm down with that shit. The message should always be comedy first, entertainment first, no matter who it's coming from. Whether it's a guy you like or don't like. And that's why I always try to, you know, if Trenny ever got in trouble.
Right.
I got blocked by Trenny.
What did you do to get blocked by Trenny?
I said...
you don't really have to do much, but I mean...
You don't have to do much. I said she tweeted after the last, like, mass shooting.
Yeah.
She tweeted a list of all the places that, you know,
yeah.
a church, a salon.
Did she ask where you can donate to instead of
Googling
it herself?
No. She came out with a list and said, these are all places it's no longer safe to go.
Oh, come on.
Hashtag do something. So I just replied, do something. Profound stuff. Thank you for your service. That's all I said. It wasn't that bad. But it was like, hey, Trenny, how about you do something?
Yeah.
Like just tweeting do something is doing literally as little as you can.
Yeah.
Other than doing literally nothing. That's the next half a step above doing nothing.
Right.
Interesting. So I kind of hate that mentality a lot.
Oh, but definitely.
So you have no, which I kind of like that you said that, you have no... need to be like loyal to other women in broadcast, because I feel like there's a lot of that where, and Trenny's one of them, where it's no matter what, if Jess Mendoza sucks on Sunday Night Baseball,
no,
the immediate reaction is, well, we have to defend her.
She's one of ours. I hate that. I can't stand
as
it.
As you should. That's good.
Right. So if you're bad at your job, no matter what gender you are, I would say I don't like what you do.
Right.
Jess Mendoza is not good.
It's more sexist or racist or whatever. To do it the opposite way.
Exactly.
To only defend someone because they're a woman or because they're a person of color or whatever.
Exactly.
That's much more racist than to just judge them purely on their merit.
Right. And then there are the women who get criticized and then say that they are criticized for something they did professionally, like wrote a terrible column or something. And people go after them and then they play the card where they're like, oh, well, you're only going after me because I'm a woman.
That bothers me to no end.
It is just infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes other women look bad. I mean, it's I don't know.
Because when they bring that up, if it's like, you're criticizing me because I'm a woman, it's like, well, and you know, Trenny kind of, I wouldn't say she played that card, but would support people that played that card.
Oh, yeah.
So you look at it, it's like, hey, Trenny, you're in with Tangway, they called a fat pedophile, and Mutt, they called a dumb drunk, and Curtis, they called him a fat alcoholic. It's like, those are much meaner than anything they ever said to Trenny.
So it's like,
were you really a victim when you were in that room? I don't know.
Right.
I use her as the example all the time, but there's plenty of others.
That was a tough one because it just seemed like she couldn't. First of all, she didn't get the show. It seemed like she didn't listen.
Right. She didn't want to be there, I don't think.
It didn't. It seemed like she just didn't. That's the big part of it. And they've talked about this recently with Mark James. Is like he doesn't listen to the show.
Right.
So there's a comparison. Mark James and Trenny, two different genders, kind of not the same criticism, but like. They don't listen, so they don't get a lot of the jokes. So that was my big thing with Trenny. Also a thing with Mark James, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, that's a big part of that show. And if you're going to be on the show, listen, kind of play along, I think, is a big part of it.
Who would you, I'll let you go right after this. Who would you want to see with Kirk if he has a co-host or something like that? Other than me, of course. The guy I've been rooting for is Tangway.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I want to see Tangway
come
back.
That would be great.
So badly.
Yes.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yes, I vote for Tangway. Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. So that's my, Blind Mike, Tangway, whoever.
Mm-hmm. Also a great guy. Gary Tangway.
Two great guys. Yeah. Lucy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Awesome having you as always.
Thank you.
Come back anytime.
I will be back soon.
We'll try and have you back next time Francesa says something dumb.
Which will be tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Caitlin, thank you as always. At Lucille Burge on Twitter.
Yes.
And, if you want to see her Instagram videos.
Mm-hmm, my viral video with Mutt. That was all Mutt, though. It was not because of me.
Well, hey, I like to think you got him there. You know what I mean?
I think it's us
you
together.
Nurtured him into that.
Yes.
Yeah, there's chemistry there between you two.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
At BlindMike_ on Twitter. I don't know why I say that, because you're already obviously following me if you've followed this. Whatever. Subscribe and give a 5-star review. Even if you're listening on WEI.com, go to iTunes and be a buddy and leave a 5-star review. And, because I've got nowhere else to go, make sure you tweet Kirk Minahan and tell him I'm the best candidate other than Gary Tangway to join him whenever that show starts. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the Radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.